Yes, I think we have this ability to react quickly. I mean, we have many examples of emergency medical evacuations where we have to secure the green light of the authorities, sometimes at night, sometimes over the weekend, so that we can send the airplane or the helicopter, literally saving lives. We have had also a good example during the offensive and the intense fighting that took place this spring, late spring, in southern Leech, around Leer and further south, where we were able to change the areas that we were targeting for food assistance and then help the people who had just been displaced because of this recent fighting. So it's always a very fluid operation, and we need to remain agile. We need to be able to change plans depending on what happens on the ground. So I think the challenge is to have at the same time a large operation, to have the volume, but to remain agile so as to be able to adjust it to last-minute developments.
What would you say are your greatest achievements during your time here?
You know, I've taken this, the ICRC has a rotation in its staff, and I think I felt honored to be asked to lead this very large operation. It was quite humbling, I must say. It's an impressive operation. I think the best thing I've done probably is to let people do their job and to trust the people that they know how to do their job, and hopefully to inspire and guide them and to defend them also internally and externally, to let them, to protect them so that they can really work as they should. And I'm happy to say that usually when you trust people, you know, they deliver. I usually say, and people think it's a joke, but it's not, you know, that one of the biggest point in management is actually to stand out of the way, and I think it's very valid. I mean, you must really trust people. Of course, you must ensure control, but it's important that people feel trusted. I think that's how they deliver best.
Any regrets?
I mean, the regret is maybe to leave a bit earlier, too early, because I think we are really at an exciting and interesting time in South Sudan. But I'll keep watching, and I really hope that this time, I mean, this is going to work. But as I said before, I think the signs are encouraging. But I'm very pleased to have stayed during this year and a half, because I think we have seen an evolution for the better, and that's very positive.
What are your hopes and dreams for South Sudan as you leave?
Well, I think first make this peace agreement stick. And, you know, I think South Sudan needs a lot of development for its infrastructure. I mean, the road network, the physical infrastructure of the country is in need of foreign assistance. And for this, you don't need the ICRC or the UN humanitarian agencies or the NGOs. You need big development agencies. You need big investment. And all this will not happen unless you have a peaceful and stable situation. So my hope for South Sudan is that peace holds, and then that you get the assistance you need and you deserve to move forward to develop the country. And also education is lagging behind. So I think there is a lot to be done. It will be a very long road. I think we are all aware of that. But the first step starts with peace. And my hope is that this peace that we have now is here to stay. And then I think you still need to work hard and be patient. But then I think the road will be a good one.
Looking at what ICRC usually does in the reintegration of children who are separated from their parents,
Yes.
How many children have you so far assisted, and what is the situation?
The situation is difficult for these children. You know that conflicts always result in emergency, urgent movement of population. People flee the fighting, and it happens often that families get separated in this process. And then, of course, this separation can last for many months, if not many years. So we have helped with the reunification of many, many families, hundreds, I don't know, possibly more. I know that currently we still have about 1,000 children that have contacted the Red Cross ICRC in South Sudan and abroad to help, to seeking help to find their parents. But this is an ongoing activity, and it's always In my long experience with the ICRC, I think it's maybe the one thing that I find the most touching, the most rewarding, is what you are able to put to bring back a family together. The emotion, and you know, I've done this in different continents, in different countries, but this emotion is really always the same and always positive. But this is, you are right, this is a legacy of the conflict. We also have missing people. We have many people who don't know if their relatives are alive or dead. And we need to do the utmost to be able to bring them the answers, even if the answer is bad news, even if it's a confirmation that a child or a husband or a father has died. But at least it helps the family to bring a sense of closure to the case, and then the family is not in this uncertainty anymore. But these...
Any records or of those who are missing, I mean, who are looking for their missing ones?
Yes, but we are going to concentrate more on this. But what is certain is that the issue of the missing persons has been underreported until now, because there was the emergency, there was the conflict, there was the emergency assistance, and people don't think immediately to alert the ICRC about a missing relative. But now we will dedicate more resources into this file in order to help the communities receive the news of the loved ones they have lost contact with.
What is your message to the people of South Sudan as you bow out as ICRC head of delegation?
Well, for me, I think it's a message of hope, of cautious optimism. And I base this on what we have seen on the ground. I base this on the mindset that we have. You know, if you were asking me this question 1 year ago, we would be talking about military offensives, about people fleeing the combat, about killings, about sexual violence, about massive violations, about people going, fleeing into the neighboring countries. Now, of course, we still have violence in parts of South Sudan. We have this issue of cattle raiding, of sometimes revenge killings, of various clashes. I'm not saying everything is at peace, but we still have a much better situation than only 6 months ago. And more importantly, you have an agreement that on paper is signed. That will be a challenge to fully implement, but I think the various parties of South Sudan have taken this commitment to make it work. And my hope is that they honor this commitment, because the people of South Sudan deserve this, and they have suffered for far too long already. And as I said, once this is settled, when this first step of peace is seen as secure, then it will be much easier to have the development actors and the support that South Sudan needs for the future.
Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.